The Fed delivering on those rate hikes as promised, 75 basis points. So what does that mean for you right now? What does it mean for the economy? What does it mean for Joe Biden? I can promise you this. It's not going to be enough to stop inflation in its tracks. And it's not going to be enough to help save us from this kind of Armageddon that's heading straight for our economy. Welcome, everyone. Good to have you back. I'm Trish Regan. Do me this favor. If you haven't done it already, do make sure that you go and you download and you subscribe to the full audio version of this podcast on Apple iTunes. I'm there every single day. Make sure you subscribe to the channel on YouTube and on Rumble. But do me that favor. Go check out Apple iTunes. Type in the Trish Regan Show and subscribe to it there. It's so good to have you here. Portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals than right now. We're going to talk more later in the program about how that saves you from inflation. But go to legacypminvestments.com for more and your free guide to investing, legacypminvestments.com. But wow, I mean, 75 basis points. And you say, wow, that's a lot. But here's the reality. When you've printed $6 trillion, you know, more money than we have in a generation over at the Federal Reserve, it turns out that 75 basis points, you know, it actually isn't what it needs to be. And I say that because when you have this much money in circulation, it's going to take a lot to actually keep it in check. I mean, think about inflation right now, clocking in at 9.1%. You heard me say the other day, that's actually really not the case, because when you really peel back the layers and you really look at the inflation statistics and you measure them apples to apples compared to what we saw, say, in the 1960s and 70s, before they changed the rules of the game in 1983, and they decided to discount housing because they saw that one as an investment. Well, guess what? When you look at it apples to apples, you see that we're far closer to the vicinity of between 16 and 19% inflation. Forget this 9.1%. In other words, it's nearly double that. And I think the American public feel it. That's why you see consumer confidence numbers going down, 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 the last 3 months in a row, declining. And so the market, you know, they're euphoric, or they were anyway in yesterday's trading, because the Fed delivered as it had promised to do. And, you know, Wall Street likes clarity. Wall Street likes to know that when the Fed says something, it really is going to go through and deliver on that promise, whatever that promise may be. And so people are temporarily happy. But let me tell you, you know, when the hangover sets in, and it will, it won't matter, because we're going to wake up next month with another print on inflation that is still bad. Now, some people tell me they're seeing some signs of it easing, but it's not going to ease overnight. So even if we come back and we're 9% or we're 8.9%, heck, I mean, those are still huge numbers. And so the fear is that increasingly these large increases in prices get embedded into the economy. And the Fed, if it doesn't act quickly enough, can't do anything about it. And right now, I'd still say they're not acting quickly enough. I mean, the reason the market was thrilled is because it was only 75 basis points, because there was a camp out there that says, look, they're not going to be able to get it done at 75. They're going to have to go to a much higher rate. They're going to have to do a quarter. Forgive me, a full point, maybe a point and a quarter. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take 2 full points. The bottom line is, this is not going to fix anything. It will act as a bit of a drag on the economy, which, you know, hey, maybe is a healthy thing given the sort of pent-up demand that's still existing out there and the ability of people to just keep paying more and more and more for everything. But ultimately, we're going to be stuck in a no man's land here for a while. And as we look forward to that print on GDP out momentarily, I think it's going to prove what I've told you all along. We're in a recession. No matter how the administration wants to sugarcoat it, we are in a recession. And that's what all these numbers are going to show you at the end of the day. More on that in just a moment. But first, a word from one of our great sponsors, Legacy Precious Metals. You know how much I love these guys and how much I think it would help you to, at the very least, give them a call. Give them a call. Go to their website. Download their free investing guide. because they can help you to hedge this inflation in your portfolio over the long term. They can help ensure that your dollars will go as far in the future as they're going today. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, given where housing prices have been, given where food prices are going, given where energy prices have been and are still going. And in fact, I read an interesting research note the other day from one of the big banks saying, look, don't expect a decline in energy prices really in a generation. Unless you have another event like March 2020, you're not going to see that decline because we have restricted supply. What's going on overseas is contributing to that. And of course, the lack of investment in the energy sector here at home is contributing to that. So you're going to have higher energy prices, which means higher everything, right? Because you got to use energy to get one thing from point A to point B. So higher energy prices get baked in. You've got higher food prices. You've got higher housing prices. You've got higher inflation, any which way you slice it, which is again, why you want to think about protecting yourself. You're going to have to figure out some way, somehow to ensure that you're not working the rest of your life. And if inflation is going to continue in this pattern, as it has for the last several decades, by the way, we're not even talking 9.1%. Even if it's just 2-3%, the reality is you are going to have less value for your dollars. So give them a call today, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. You can visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Or as I said, call them. You are more than welcome to use my name. I encourage you to do so. Again, they're friends of mine and they'll take good care of you. So give them a ring. But back to what's going on with GDP. I mean, look at this right now. Two consecutive quarters of negative growth. I've been calling it and calling it and calling it. You know what? Even if it comes in, and I'm recording this early ahead of these GDP print numbers that are going to come out momentarily, even if it were to come in slightly positive, by the time they finish the revisions, I do think you're going to see negative growth for the second quarter. So two quarters of decline, that's a classic definition of a recession, no matter what anybody's going to tell you. That means we're in a recession. Now, let's hope it's not that bad. Some people think it's going to be really bad. In fact, I was watching Dr. Doom there, Noriel Roubini, who hasn't gotten everything right. I'm going to tell you that I've known him a long time. I knew him back when he was first making these predictions, which I thought were spot on about the dangers of the housing bubbles we got into 2008 and the repercussions that would be the result of that. And he was absolutely spot on. And people just thought he was sort of crazy. And they probably still think he's a little bit crazy because he tends to be more negative. I get it, right? Because he's saying, like I am, like you are, well, how does this actually work long term? When you have developed economies running debt to GDP ratios on average greater than 300%, when you've printed, for example, at the Federal Reserve, more than $6 trillion in the last couple of years, you've got to recognize that this is not sustainable and it's all very fictitious. And so he's sounding the alarm and I understand where it's coming from. Now, look, you know, I'm a patriot like any other patriot. I'm a believer in this great economy and I think that we're going to be ultimately okay. But the hardship could be there for sure in the coming months. And I just think it's really important that people be prepared. We are in a recession. Don't let them spin or talk their way out of it. That's where we are right now. And given the situation on the international front, given the desire to just keep spending money, right? That's the answer to everything. Oh, just spend some more. Just give out more checks. I mean, you see Gavin Newsom out there in California thinking that the answer to higher gas prices is to just hand everybody a check so that they can afford even higher gas prices. And other folks think, well, you know, why not just have everyone buy a Tesla or some other car that doesn't need gasoline? Like people just have 60 grand hanging around. I mean, this is so much the problem. You get it, right? With all of them and all of the sort of elites, if you would, calling the shots, trying to reinvent the world as we know it through these rose-colored glasses that they have without the recognition of any kind of reality, without the recognition that, for example, you got crime on the streets that you need to address, without the recognition that you just can't print your way to prosperity, and without the recognition that Americans are facing a lot of hardship. They talk a good game, right? They're out there to help. They're not helping. They're not helping anyone anyone but themselves. So as we face this recession threat, or I should just say recession, right? As we face all of this, as we face a Federal Reserve that finds itself having to hike rates but can't seem to do it fast enough or aggressively enough to really solve the situation, what does it mean? What does it mean for our economy? What does it mean for investing? You know, I sat down earlier with Charlie Dombeck of Key City Capital because, as you know, if you've been watching the show, he's got a ton of ideas on how to protect your capital, how to still grow it in a challenging and tricky environment. And he's pretty convinced this is a recession, but there are ways through it. Talk a little bit about that. Plus, did you ever wonder what fly fishing and investing might have in common? He's going to explain. Take a listen to this right here. Charlie Dombeck from Key City Capital back with us this week in an extremely important time. Charlie, there's a lot of stuff going on. We get the Fed raising rates. Today, we get the read on the GDP situation. Are you nervous?
Well, I'm concerned. And we have a lot of economic data releasing this week that is going to kind of determine the course of our markets for the next 3 to 6 months. And what I expect is a significant raise of interest rates on behalf of the Fed. I think the markets have largely priced in the raise that we're going to see. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of volatility coming out of what the Fed is predicted to do. However, I think that the constant pressure on the markets, on the economy of rising interest rates is really going to damper our economic outlook for the next 6 months. By and large, everyone believes that we are teetering on the verge of recession. I think the GDP is going to come out and potentially we're in a recessionary environment already with a second quarter of reduced GDP. So I think we're in a very troubling and concerning environment, and it just bodes to the message of being conservative, being defensive, preserving capital, and finding stores of value for your capital, and trying to keep up as much as possible with ongoing inflation. And you know, I think potentially inflation has peaked. Core inflation was actually down last month, and it's going to be a slow curve moving downward over the next 6 to 12 months in terms of inflation coming down. And there's no quick remedy. And really, the Fed has no choice. They have to raise interest rates. And I think that's going to, as I said before, really be detrimental impact on the overall economy. Yeah. And you see consumers taking on debt at record levels. You see softening of the job market right now. And I think it's going to be even tougher in the next 6 to 12 months than it has been in the last six, which have been quite difficult.
You know, recessions, as many economists would tell you, you know, no two are alike. We have the administration trying to kind of use that, if you would, to try and say, oh, we're not really in recession. We'll see what the final numbers are. But nonetheless, it feels pretty bad. You look at consumer sentiment down 3 months in a row, and people are very concerned about this inflation. I'm encouraged that you think it may have peaked. That would be a good sign. But with all this in mind, knowing that no two recessions are really alike, I think it's important for investors to remember that, because what you would think would happen in a recession is, oh, you know, rents are going down. You're actually seeing the opposite in your portfolio of rental lending, aren't you?
Absolutely. We're in the affordable housing space. And what we're seeing, especially in these landlord-friendly jurisdictions where we're seeing massive population shifts into the Sun Belt states, just tremendous demand for rental housing. And what people are doing is they're getting to the point where, as a result of rising interest rates and a very tight housing market for the last 3 to 4 years, people can't afford to buy a house right now. And they're looking and turning towards rentership as an alternative. And for example, in our large multifamily complex, 1,200 units in Memphis, Tennessee, we're finishing up the renovations in that complex. And what we're finding today is we're getting rental rates for our units at levels that we predicted to receive in 3 to 4 years from now. So what that's doing is driving up operating cash flow, and it's creating an income stream for our investors that really insulates and protects against inflation as really a recessionary proof investment. And so that's what I like, and that's what I think is happening, and we're going to see more of that.
It's a very interesting thing, again, knowing that you've got to navigate this space according to the data that's out there. And you can't just say, okay, it's a recession, so this is automatically what we go to. it's really pretty remarkable that there's that increase, right, in rents. And it's remarkable that unemployment is still as low as it's been.
I know unemployment is very low at historically low levels, but what we are starting to see is a softening in the job market. We're starting to see employers scale back, and I think we're going to see more of that. We are still seeing very strong consumer spending from the upper middle income class and the upper income Americans, but your average working class American has really cut back purchases of goods. Mm-hmm. And purchases are moving more to a service-based economy. So service-based businesses that generate cash flow look pretty positive for the near future. But even Walmart came out with reduced profit expectations because of reduced spending. Right. And I think that's the trend for the future. And that's what we have to be aware of, what's going to continue to happen with consumer spending, especially on goods.
You know, I know you got a pretty global business there. You're over in London and you have in your asset-backed securities lending business, film projects you're working on, which is partly why you're there now. And I know we talked about before, for example, the luxury car business, really fascinating stuff. But I recently saw a picture. I'm going to share it with our viewers, our listeners. This is Charlie. This is Charlie fly fishing. And where were you? In Belize? Was that?
I was actually in Belize for a fly fishing trip, and which is one of the bucket list destinations to go as an avid fly fisherman.
So you fly fish, you like fly fishing. Here's just a random question. Are there similarities at all? Do you see between fly fishing and investing?
There are a lot of similarities between fly fishing and investing. And one of the things that you experience as a fly fisherman is constantly changing conditions. In particular, changes in the water, maybe increased flows, and changes in temperature level. And you constantly have to be able to predict where the fish are going to be in any one given condition. Some days they want to be in fast water where there's more oxygen. Some days when it's cooler, they want to be in softer water where they can get out of the major flows. So as a fly fisherman, you have to be able to assess the data, make predictions, and be able to ultimately send a precise cast to the right water to find the fish of your choice. And investing is very similar. We have to be aware of changing market conditions, changing economic conditions. We have to be able to evaluate sometimes very challenging economic data, and we have to be able to position our capital, and we have to be active in terms of managing our portfolio so that we can take advantage of the right conditions to be able to achieve a rate of return and ultimately find a way to grow our wealth rapidly. And that's what we do at Key City Capital. We are essentially wealth architects, and we evaluate this data constantly, and we constantly look for opportunities, especially in today's environment, to preserve capital, to find stores of value, and ultimately allow our clients to grow their wealth rapidly. So
well,
it's very much
it's a fascinating comparison and analogy that you just gave us. And I encourage people to check it out, keycitycapital.com. You can connect with Charlie there at Key City Capital. And you guys have certainly proven you get a lot of interesting ideas and ways for people to think strategically about their future and protect capital, which obviously in this environment is more important than ever before. We always appreciate your insight, Charlie. It's good to see
you
again.
Thank you. Great to be here.
The things you learn, right? My thanks again to Charlie. You can learn more by going to keycitycapital.com/Trish, keycitycapital.com/Trish. Tell Charlie you saw him here. Give him a ring. See what ideas he has for you. It's an interesting time for sure. Quick reminder, everyone, do me the favor of making sure, if you haven't already, go and sign up, subscribe to the free full audio version of this podcast. I'm there every day for you at Apple, iTunes, or Spotify. If you're on Spotify, do me the favor of signing up for this channel on Rumble and on YouTube. Subscribe on Facebook, all those good places. I'll see you back here tomorrow.